comes from a time in Israel's life when they were taken into captivity. It was made popular by the African-American slaves who felt weary constantly under the pressure of not owning their lives, not being able to make any decisions. And they sought refuge from the one place that gave them hope. And that was that God would take the weariness, the difficulties, the complete pain of life, and someday would heal them of it. In fact, we still believe that today. Many of us come to church to hear that, you know, the week's been tough, but God still loves us. We didn't make all the right decisions, but God still wants to extend His arms to us. And so thank you. There is a balm, a healing ointment that comes to us from God. I wanted to make an announcement earlier. The Tanners had a grandchild. Stacy gave birth to Miles Tanner Meehan, and Les and Millie called me to let me know, and one of their grandsons, his wife is in Holy Cross on bed rest for the next 8 weeks. So I corrected them. I said, no, you've got a new great-grandchild. They said, no, we've got a new grandson. And so if you know Millie and Les, give them a call. They would love to hear from you. And just congratulations on their family that is growing. I am excited about this series. We have been looking at Galatians 5. Verses 22 to 26, to look at each week a new fruit of the Spirit. It comes from a passage where Paul is talking about all the things in life that lead us away from God. And then he changes up. He says, by contrast, but in case you didn't know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then he makes a little joke. There's no law against such as these, things such as these. It's a little joke because nobody could find any fault with any of those words, could you? I mean, whoever said, oh, I got too much love. I felt joy way too much. It set me off. I was too peaceful today. Gosh, my patience was at an all-time high. I was the kindest person in the world today. You can't find fault with any of those. Generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Each one of these words we have talked about give us a new mark for life. And one scholar suggested that the first three words are not initiated by us. Love, joy, and peace have to come as gifts of God to us. A person can't really experience what it is to love unless they've been loved. Unless some way they've opened their hearts up. That's why frequently when you're dealing with psychopathic behavior, it's people that have been robbed of that experience of allowing love in their lives. It's true for all three of these things. We can't be peaceful people unless we've experienced the gift of the peace of God. And then there are three reflection words. Patience, kindness, and generosity. We had to think hard about those. We need to meditate on those. How and why does patience help us show the Spirit of God in this world? And then the three last words are all response words. Faithfulness, we looked at last week. Today, we're looking at gentleness. The Greek word is praus. And it can be translated either gentle or humble or meek. And today, I'm going to take you through five quick verses. The first two are from James. I want you to know how important it is to all the writers in the New Testament that we experience humility. James 1:19-21, you must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. Again, two chapters later, he says, who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. And then the Apostle Paul in Galatians 6 says, my friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. And then in Romans he says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you that you not think more highly than you ought to think. This is a form of humility. Not humility, but think with sober judgment. Sophrein, which is a part, is a compound word saying that the judgment is a meek judgment and understands its place, is sober about it. Each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And my favorite is Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 2. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope in the future. May God bless the reading of His Word. Will you pray with me? Lord, over and over again, in times of distress and in times of encouragement, Paul and James, as leaders of this fledgling community called church, remind their people how important this little act is, how important humility is. Help us as we unpack this word and make it practical in our lives. To that end, take the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of our hearts and minds as we think through it. For Lord, you are our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, there's a story told of two men who were waiting at the pearly gates to gain entrance into heaven. When St. Peter, who guards the gates of heaven, came to the gates and said, I'm sorry to tell you, there's only room for one more person here. Which of you is the most humble? How would you answer it? Humility is a hard word to think about. We have to have enough strength of character. And that comes maybe from the love, the peace, and the joy. We have to have enough sense of self to not feel that we are worthless, because that's not humility. But often it gets confused with humility. You see a person who keeps their eyes down and walks into the room lowly, and you think, that person is humble. But maybe not. Because oftentimes that person just has such a poor sense of self that they have not experienced the first three fruits enough to lift their heads to realize who they are. Marcus Aurelius, the great philosopher in Rome, identified the following traits of a successful person. consciousness of an honest purpose in life is the first part of it. You have to have a sense that you have purpose. For true humility, you need to have a sense that you are significant. A just estimate of himself and of everyone else. Do we go around praising everybody that we see? No. But do we lift up certain people? Here's the question. Who do you lift up? Celebrities? People that make it in the social media? Who's important? A just estimate of himself or herself and everyone else. Frequent self-examinations. Ever think about how did I respond to so-and-so? What did I do in this situation? Should I have done something more to my partner in life or someone at work or a neighbor? And steady obedience to what he knows to be right, indifference to what others may say or think. That is a sense of strength of knowing who you are, that you are not shaped by someone else, but by who God made you to be and how you reflect and integrate that into your life. The great fighter Muhammad Ali was in his prime, and he was about to take off in an airplane flight, and he was being kind of a little bit brash, well, a lot brash, when the stewardess came by and reminded him to fasten his seatbelt. He came back brashly, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." And the stewardess looked just as quick and came back, "Superman don't need no airplane either." Too often, though, we confuse humility with that attitude that we are not important. And that's because too often we are inclined to confuse fame with greatness. You see, fame comes from the press, the television, the social media. Fame is your 15 minutes in the sun. Fame doesn't mean you've been a good person. It means you've done something that somebody's taken notice of. And either a scoundrel or a great person can be brought into that spotlight. But prominence, in and of itself, is a poor yardstick with which to measure greatness, isn't it? Many of us would never lift up people on pedestals if we knew what they were really like. Until you knock somebody off their pedestal and see how they respond to that, they don't have a measure of greatness. You see, it's how we get back up rather than how we ascend that matters. It allowed the poet James Russell Lowell to write, "The wisest man could ask no more of fate than to be simple, modest, manly, or womanly, true, safe from the many, and honored by the few, to count as naught in world or church or state, but inwardly, in secret, to be great." A sense of self, a sense of knowing who you are and who God is, and who these people that are in your life are about. These response words are important to us. But today I want to focus a little bit for a couple minutes on what the implications are for worship. Where do you think the place for humility is in worship? Anybody have any ideas?
Everywhere?
Eric?
Huh?
Well, it starts with that, doesn't it? It starts with knowing that we need a Savior. That we can't do it in and of ourselves. That's the first rule of AA, too, founded on Christian principles. We need to admit we are powerless and need our higher power. We need, in our Christian tradition, the saving love of Jesus Christ. Okay? But in our worship, do we always come in and say that? It's kind of an implication. Hopefully it's said some points during the service. Confession is interesting, and I'm going to come back to that. Do you know, I get in trouble here sometimes because people come in and say, you know, this church is always so noisy to begin with. Everybody's talking. They don't know how to shut their cell phones off. They don't know how to prepare themselves for worship. They should come in knowing that God, and this comes from, I believe, with all my heart. My childhood in Hollywood, I was told to come in quietly to church, reverently, prepare myself. And so I have great respect for that attitude. But it's always been a little bit of a disconnect to me. You know why? Because I want to come into a place where there are people that are going to embrace me, where there are people that are going to ask me about my week, where I'll get a, "Hello, Bill, how are you?" And that's not because I'm a preacher. Just because that's family. That's what the church is all about in the New Testament. So some people would say it would begin in reverence and humility. It's a way of saying what Eric spoke of. I'm here because God was so good to me. I need to prepare myself to receive what He has. But for me, do you know the word for shout in the Old Testament is Hallel? Hallelujah! It's a shout. Now, we Presbyterians don't shout a lot. We're afraid of becoming Pentecostal. So someone once said, you can shout twice and that's enough. The truth is, I like the energy. And for me, it is the prayer of confession. It's where I come and I humbly talk about what I've done that offends God. And since we read a corporate prayer of confession, it starts with ideas that we don't always think about. And hopefully they change week to week. And something new will hit you about, yes, you know, I'm not quite who I want to be. The focus today, if you look at it, the focus was all about fame and glory, isn't it? And how secretly we want to be noticed. But sometimes we lose the sense of God in getting noticed. Worship works this way. God catches your attention or you wouldn't be here. There's something in your life, whether it's God goes back to your days as a child, or and it's a habit now, or whether it was on the golf course this week that you hit a hole in one, you said, I got to come to church. Haven't been there in a coon's age, but I'm going to be there to say thank you to God. Somehow, something brought you. The Spirit of God works by drawing us, and we respond by worship. In Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. That is a prayer that is offered to acknowledge the goodness of God. You know, I was watching the playoffs, and I was kind of rooting for the Oklahoma Thunder. And I'll tell you why. Derek Fisher has always been one of my favorite basketball players. I know there's some people in this church that don't like Derek. I'm sorry about that. But he always shows up and he always humbly does his job. Not the tallest. He's not the biggest. He's not the fastest. He's not the best ball handler. But he's as close to Jerry West as I know of being Mr. Clutch. And yet he does it without acknowledging any bravado. And the Oklahoma Thunder kind of play that way. I kind of see a team in them. I don't see a superstar out there lighting up the floor now. Some could disagree with me. But to me, it's a fun team to watch because of that. There's something about a team playing in team spirit together. It gives me a sense of humility. You know, the truth is, to make someone humble, we have to love them. Some people think that you make someone humble by putting them in their place. Some parents raise their kids critically by pointing out every time that the child successfully does or says something. And yet, that tends to squelch a spirit. That's not true humility. That's demeaning the person. Oh, bumblehead, let me do it. You don't do it so well. How do you think the kid's going to feel? You see, the truth is, the way that God calls us to worship is through His love for us, not through shoving it in our face that we are failures. God shows us grace and love. We need to show that to one another. C.S. Lewis wrote a book, The Weight of Glory. Weight, in his English vernacular, meant honor, the honor of glory. And he was talking about it. He says, glory either means fame or it means luminosity. He said, fame is a competitive word that leaves someone a winner and someone a loser. Fame lifts somebody on a pedestal and says, that's the best person. He says, fame is more of hell than it is of heaven. But luminosity? Luminosity is a child running down up the stairs with a new picture that he's just drawn or she's just drawn. And says, Mommy, Mommy, look what I drew! And the mommy takes it, as crazy a picture as it is. And it's funny how moms just know what it is. I am still amazed by that. I always go with, what is it? My wife goes, oh, what a beautiful little house, or I don't know, whatever it is, race car. And I'm like, okay, how do you know that? At any rate, they lift it up and then they put it on the refrigerator. That's luminosity. It's letting the brightness shine. In each situation, it's not competitive. Someone said that God carries your picture in His wallet. Imagine that. I just learned that the Queen of England, when you see her, you're not allowed to touch her first. You're not allowed to extend your hand. She has to do that. So imagine yourself a tourist in London when all of a sudden a big, huge car stops dead in the street. The Queen of England gets out, comes over directly to you, a tourist, puts her hand out for you, and says, dear, I've finally seen you. Let me show you. I've got your picture in my wallet. Imagine God having our picture in His wallet. That's pretty amazing. Someone once said, be humble, for you are made of earth. But be noble, for you are made of stars. If we were to define humility, to be humble is to be so sure of oneself and one's mission that one can forgo calling excessive attention to oneself or status. Even more pointedly, to be humble is to revel in the accomplishment or potential of others. Interesting, humble people can also value others because they value themselves. Humility means two things. One, a capacity for self-criticism. The second feature is allowing others to shine. If Paul is right, whenever we do such a thing, whenever we meet another person and see the glory of God in them and lift up their worth, we are being humble. Whenever we don't have to shine in the spotlight, but rather let God's love shine through us in the world, we are being humble. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you that these word studies are interesting and make us think about how we are and who we are and whose we are. I would pray that every person here knows how valuable they are to you, and that their luminosity is bright in this world. And I would pray that you get the glory for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.